The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 1072. It's Monday, the 21st of May, 2018. By the way, check out our new podcast series called Business Lives. You can see this at voxmarkets.co.uk/businesslives, and it's interviews with high profile people in the world of business. For example, I interviewed Justin Urquhart Stewart recently, renowned market commentator and founder of Seven Investment Management Company. Also on there is Abby Wright, co-founder of Europe's largest spa booking company, spabreaks.com, and Lara Morgan, British entrepreneur and founder and former CEO of Pacific Direct. Worth checking out how these people made it. Trials and tribulations. Okay, on today's podcast, I have Lawrence Reed, Executive Director of Ferrum Crescent, soon to change his name to Europa Metals, but it's FCR at the moment. And Lawrence discusses the plans for the company now their £1 million fundraise has been approved at the general meeting today. Also on the podcast is a Monday, so I have Malki, Oil and Gas Sector Authority, talking about the following companies: Premier Oil, Rockhopper Exploration, Echo Energy, Hurricane Energy, Janelle Energy, STX Energy, iGas Energy. It's a lot of energy there, isn't it? And Offfire Energy. Plus, as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Lawrence Reed, Executive Director of Ferrum Crescent, FCR, but that will be changing soon, that name. Lawrence, thanks for joining me.
Justin, thanks for having me on. And the new ticker will be EUZ in a couple of weeks' time.
EUZ, cool. Okay, well, listen, you're saying that the general meeting's just happened. All the things have passed. And within that, you've changed the name. There's lots of other things, resolutions, of course. But also, you've raised now £1 million gross. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. And that's basically going to be going into progressing the Tyrol lead zinc and silver asset, which we've spoken about before. So essentially the really exciting thing is we're going to be throwing first economics around it. So for the first time we're going to be talking about what could this be? How could it be mined?
Well, let's take a step back. Lawrence, there are people listening who probably never heard of Ferrum Crescent. So, first of all, explain on a basic level, in 30 seconds, what Ferrum Crescent is all about, or Europa Metals is all about, please.
Ferrum Crescent was all about a company that was slightly mired in iron ore in South Africa, and we've just ripped all that up and thrown it away. And the new management team has refocused completely on a lead, zinc and silver asset in Spain. And Spain's really exciting at the moment. And what we've done is we've taken a project which has a massive amount of data and a massive amount of drilling. You're talking 44,000 metres, mm-hmm. but which hasn't really been understood correctly. And we've attempted to understand it using modern data techniques with a first-class team, and we've gone in there and we've said this is what we think this project is. And in doing that, using an independent JORC 2012 resource audit by a separate company, we've not only proved up a brand new resource, but we also discovered silver, which was previously unreported. And it's exciting because fundamentally you've got a company which is sort of built on the shoulders of giants. It's unrealized value from a huge amount of data and a huge amount of dollars put into this company before anyone's got anywhere near it, or before Ferrum Crescent's got anything anywhere near it.
Yeah, and like I said, there's, for people who don't understand this, I mean, compared to the valuation of your company, it's a big asset, isn't it? Now, I suppose a third now of your market cap is cash. And two-thirds is that asset, which if you look at it as a metal in the ground, I did an odd workings out, rough workings out on my blog, but it's just...
Which you can do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's roughly around like $3 billion worth of metal in the ground. Of course, it takes a lot to get that out. But so now you've got that money, like you say, you can work on this and prove up the value of this. And by doing what? How are you going to do that?
Well, we are going to produce... First of all, the next new cycle is going to be about us appointing somebody to do a preliminary economic assessment, a PEA, scoping study, same thing, essentially.
Yeah.
And what that allows us to do, we're not going to talk about... economics that we haven't proven and that hasn't been sort of independently assessed, because we can't really, and we certainly shouldn't. So for the first time, we're not just looking at, yes, this is the resource for the metals in the ground. We're going to be looking at what potentially can we do with it. What does this project look like? How many tons in the ground? What's the grade? Mm-hmm. Is it viable? Now, we're really excited about that. And I probably won't go a lot farther. You've done your own calculations, which are great, but we can't go any further about that. But the scoping study is really exciting for us, because we want to come out and to talk to shareholders and talk to the market and, frankly, talk to other groups from a wide range of different backgrounds about what we've got here, which we believe will be a viable mine.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? It's funny you say the viable mine, because when we first started chatting about this, there was very much the sense that you were proving this up to maybe look at interested parties to sell it to. But now you are to mention the mine, the chance of going through to creating a mine here. So has that changed within? Have you thought, hang on a sec, let's take it through to the full producing mine. Has that changed?
We're going to have to go through the PEA. We're going to have to look at the economics. It's important not to fall in love with assets. But we think this is real. As in, we think this is a project that potentially really can be turned into a economically sustainable mine. Mm. Now, that's why you're seeing the language probably change from us. Because the more we've gone along, the more we've understood about the project, the more we're thinking, this isn't just about endlessly drilling, adding tons and grade in some sort of bonanza of geology. This is about, okay, this is a real project which is deliverable into production potentially. But we need to do this PEA. We need to begin to, within sensitivities, look at all the various different factors so we can release that to the market and talk about it. But the language change, I wouldn't necessarily say it was probably conscious in some levels, but yeah, it's very much, it's a reflection of how we're thinking about this project.
Okay, and as far as you're concerned, you say it's are you still going to be sort of exploring along the open end of the east side of the prospect here?
Yes, we'll still be looking to do that. Absolutely. But I think it's important to stress that there's a number of different workflows in place at the same time. So, again, yes, absolutely, we're going to be doing that. But there's almost 2, 3, 4 different streams of work going on the ground. And all of them are important. Because it's not just siloing out one bit of work and saying, let's have a look on strike. It's understanding the project as a whole and whether it can be a successful mine.
Yeah.
Because this isn't exploration for exploration's sake. And I think everybody involved in the project is very focused on that. That's not one of these companies.
Yeah. So looking at timeline of events, I mean, obviously you're in the middle of planning this, but so when do you hope to have sort of some significant news out? When will this all be start? And when will it hopefully be concluded, you think, this work program?
Well, I think I don't want to go into too much detail, but we think we can do an awful lot of work by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to go into micros either, Justin, sorry, because I think that would not be a wise thing.
I know lots of companies have set themselves up for fall doing that, because there's always delays sometimes. I understand. But do you think you can do a substantial amount of work before year end, yeah?
Very much so. And I think what you're going to be seeing is we'll probably announce a first stage scoping study, if you like, saying, based on what we have right now, this is what it is. And then as we do other work on the other work streams, we'll probably be updating it. In fact, if it all goes well, we are going to be updating it. Because these things can't stay static. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between, you know, producing a study or a resource because somebody just wants to go out and rush out and raise more money, to delivering a study program or results, which in a sense are an iterative process to actually build and develop something.
Yeah.
And that's very much what we're looking at. So I don't think you're going to be seeing a static, there's one thing that's going to be coming out. What I'm hoping you're going to be seeing is news coming out from various different elements, which in a sense all intertwine with each other and progress this towards, you know, serious decisions, and allows us to talk to stakeholders, groups, and looking about how this project can be meaningfully progressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so personally, from your point of view, you said you're excited about this. What is it you're excited about? What is it that gets you about this project?
I think the scale and grade. I mean, it's not a mega, mega massive project by any means, but I think if you look at the tons, you look at the grade, I think as we do the scoping study, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But it's got the size and the results. And if we look at the block model, which we have everywhere, website presentations, etc. If you look at the higher grade section of the block model, mm-hmm. having a look around, you know, we're not talking about, this isn't going to be open pit, just to state that. This is going to be, if this becomes a mine, it will probably almost certainly be underground. Mm-hmm. So we're not talking about mining the top of a mountain off at all. That would never happen. It's mm-hmm. completely economically unfeasible and environmentally, no. What you're looking at is looking at what's the best economic way to mine an area. How's the best way to do it? And that's the bit that's really exciting.
Yeah.
And if you look at the block model, you can probably get at where I'm getting at. We're going to be concentrating
The backdrop is as well, you've got this, like you said, your size and grade, but the backdrop against that is that, you know, your valuation as a company is tiny, isn't it, compared to what the potential you have there, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to be the guy who says we're really undervalued, isn't life rubbish?
It's you won't be the really first, I know.
I won't be the first, but I'm not going to do that, because it's a pointless exercise, and frankly, it's not for me to judge. But what I am going to say is, we think in terms of development prospects. We think in terms of possessing an asset which has the capability to be a real mine. Tyrol has all of that. But we need to test it sensibly. And that's the key next stage. And again, it's not going to be dependent on one thing. It's going to be a rolling series of pieces of news flow which is going to interconnect with everything. And we're going to have to, as time goes on, we're going to have to look at the news and the data that we're getting out and make decisions as we go as well. Because we may find that in a positive way, some feedback we get on certain pieces of work says, God, actually, guys, you should be concentrating over here.
Yeah.
But at the moment, we've got a very fixed work program. Probably not going to say more. We'll probably be announcing it's late here, I'm a little tired, appointment somebody to do the scoping study next So, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, and I've got to explain to people, you are in Perth, Australia, because that's why it's late there, so because that's where the general meeting was held. Marvellous. Well, listen, three last things. Lawrence, for people listening right now, and I like the sound of this, it's development, and you have the cash now to develop this programme, project. Give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button if they're not following you already on your Vox Markets page there and add you to their watch list.
It's got scale and grade, and it's got a great precious metals credit. Number two, the hot tip, I think, for the next 10 years in resources is going to be about supply chain transparency. So let's have a look at what's going on in the DRC this week, for instance. I'm not talking about the tragic Ebola, but in terms of supply chain transparency and also anti-corruption. What you're seeing here in Spain, best practice environmental standards and mining practices where people know the metals they're going to be getting. And that's absolutely key. And you've got so much data on this project. And all we're doing is unlocking an awful lot of the work, which you don't have to spend your money on. Essentially, what I think you're doing is beginning to ride the product of an awful lot of efficient, clever work. And it's going to be a year of news, I think. I think we've had the lethargy of the past. That's all gone. That's all changed. And we've got a clear plan, which we're going to be pursuing.
Yeah. And I think that thing that you said about Spain is highly relevant, because there's lots of people who invest, especially new people to invest in companies that they hear has a great asset. But it's in some way, you know, that you wouldn't want to go. And so, you know, it's basically so. It's the fact that Spain is a couple of hours away and it's a first world country helps enormously. So, Lawrence, thanks for that, fella. And like I said, you've got a year of news ahead of you. So, no doubt you'll be coming on and chatting in a not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Cheers, Justin.
Bye. The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Oil and Gas Sector Authority podcaster, writer. It's Malky. You all right, fella?
Yeah, I'm very well indeed. Thanks, Justin.
Yes, I'm good. We're just saying it's unusual. Actually managed to catch a bit of sun. In fact, my head, which is lacking a bit of hair, is burned. You know, but it's sensitive there. So, but that's not a bad thing. So, you know, not whinging about that. I think it's quite nice that we can have a sort of a May day out or May bank holiday, whatever, weekend, I mean, I should say, and catch a bit of sun, you know, compared to what we've had in the last few months. It's nice, isn't it?
It most certainly is. I think that, it was a weekend full of weddings and sport and street parties and all sorts of fun.
And you just mentioned you had a street party. I can imagine you there, Malky, you're matching Union Jack shorts and Union Jack shirt there, enjoying that and the hat and everything.
I'm afraid I just went in a polo shirt and a pair of shorts, but okay. People who'd gone over the top, and the kids loved it.
So. Yeah, you dashed my imagination of you there.
I think. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah. Right, let's get into the stocks. What are you looking at, Malky?
Well, I've got quite a bunch of stocks have had news in the last week, so I thought I'd run through a few bits and pieces, one or two favourites and one or two ones which I'm sort of coming up on the rails a bit.
Mm-hmm. Go for it. What's the first one?
So I thought I'd start off with Premier and Rockhopper, who both had... it's AGM season at the moment, so yep. Premier and Rockhopper both had AGM statements with trading updates and so on. In Premier's case, the update was that everything is going extremely well operationally. I mean, this has been the definition of Premier in the last two or three years, and things are going very well. Catcher is now on stream, absolutely full blast, and they announced that's producing 60,000 barrels a day gross. They've got the Premier itself is now amongst in the group producing 90,000 barrels a day. They've got some exciting projects coming up. Even though they've got substantial debt, they've got Tolmount gas field coming up for approval in the second half of this year, and they're going to have some innovative funding on that. So I'm looking forward to that. They've got an appraisal well on the Zama prospect in Mexico. They picked up some decent new acreage in Mexico and Indonesia recently as well. But I think, and this is where Rockhopper comes in, mm-hmm. I think what must be most exciting is that Sea Lion, their development in the Falklands, must be looking absolutely fantastic at $75 to $80 oil, which is what we've got now. They've gotten to a situation whereby, of course, they, providing they press the button now, and if they don't, there's something horribly wrong with them. If they press the button now, they will have effectively financed and done this deal, you know, put together the development project at, you know, right at the bottom of the oil costs in the industry, and the oil price right at the top. So they've got the contractors are all in a line, putting their support there. There's credit financing programs, and of course they've announced a Pathfinder Bank who is going to sort out the senior debt, which will be, in my view, the thing that will be placed on top at the very end. Despite the fact the Premier is geared up, this is actually going to be, in my view, this could be 20 to 25% of the Premier's production and revenues in the mid-20s. So it's a no-brainer, and I think they'll announce that they're going to go ahead with it with a final investment decision later on this year. So, you know, a lot of people have been waiting for Rock Copper. It's been sitting patiently in that bucket list for a couple of years for this moment to happen.
Yeah.
And I think now it is. So both Premier and Rock Copper, indirectly and directly, in looking in quite good nick.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I mean, oil stocks at the moment, like I said, if you have a sustained you know, level here, if we hold this level for a while, I'm looking at my portfolio here. My top three stocks are oil stocks. They're rising today.
Yeah.
So it's almost like sentiment is very bullish at the moment, isn't it? I don't know how long it'll last, but it's looking very good. And you can, obviously, when that happens, then you get people willing to do their financing, yeah, and all that kind of things, don't they? It's a lot easier, you know?
And they sometimes they do take a little while to catch up. And, you know, I was talking to you last week about, you know, Faro, you know, that sometimes the bigger companies look down into the marketplace and see that these companies are trading more cheaply than they can go out and drill for the stuff themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, DNO, it shouldn't be unnoticed that they've taken 27% of Faro on the cheap just when the market wasn't looking. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they did a $400 million debt issue last week, just in case. So, you know, there are lots of things going on. And so I'm going to move on to one or two other stocks.
Go for it, yeah.
If I may. Echo Energy is another one, mm-hmm. Which is a new kid on the block. But last week they had a super discovery. They, if you remember, bought all these Argentine assets. It's a sort of full cycle for them almost, because there is exploration, there is appraisal, and a bit of production as well. But having been working in up till now on a 3-well workover program at Fraction D, they've moved over to a 4-well proper drilling program at Fraction C. And the first thing they had was a discovery last week. Mm-hmm. What looked like a really good gas discovery. It'll take a bit further, you know, log analysis to establish quite how much the rate is and the net pay. But the one well will de-risk the 4-well, I'm told. So, you know, Echo is already going from strength to strength and has a lot of retail following, given that it's sort of part of the Sound, Echo, Coro trio.
Yeah. Well, do you know what, on the chart is saying, if it gets, it's close to it, but it's if it closes above 16 pence, which it hasn't done this year, but it's been close to it, then it you know, it's probably into a new trading range there, because it's now at 15.3. But if it gets above, if it closes above 16, it looks quite bullish actually on the chart.
Yeah, I agree. So moving on, there are one or two other companies which I want to keep an eye on. One is Hurricane, which had two announcements last week. I mean, people worry about the fact that you're not going to get too much in the way of sort of drilling news or anything from Hurricane, but all we need at the moment from Hurricane is a continued flow of information that all the very big kit is moving in the direction of the West of Shetland development of the EPS at Lancaster. So we had two pieces of news last week. One was the installation of the Christmas trees, you'll be pleased to hear, which is surface work under the water. And also that the buoy, I mean, this is the thing I saw, which is just, and it's sailed away from the shipyards, the Dubai Dry Dock, which is, you know, I've been to twice recently. And the buoy has moved away from there and is heading over towards the to Lancaster as well, the West of Shetlands. So the promising thing that Hurricane shareholders need to hear is on budget and on schedule for first half 2019 oil from Lancaster.
Yeah.
So need to hear from them. And just two or three other ones quickly. Gunel, which, as you know, Kurdistan, and, you know, had a difficult two or three years, but actually is coming out of it really nicely. I don't think the market has quite worked out how valuable Gunel could be now. I think that because it had a history and so on, we're not getting, you know, the height of the war, it wasn't getting paid, and so it's racking up credit there. But it's being paid quite substantially now. I'm looking at that AGM statement last week where they said that they'd received significant cash from the KRG, that's the regional government there, $100 million this year so far. But that's just the least of it. They've got this a wells drilling at Peshkabir, a six-well program there, and that looks really, really exciting. Could give us some really good short-term value. And then, of course, they've got this, what people have considered to be on the sort of back burner, this Bina Bawi and Miran gas field, which is absolutely monumental. And it will, I agree, take quite a long time. But it's a long-term pot of value. And, of course, what they've discovered is that there's a little oil field sitting on top of it, which they could develop really nicely, I think, in the short term. So I think if people haven't looked at it, I've looked at the numbers that the market are going for their target prices for Gunel, and I think it's too low. So I think people should take a good look at Gunel. If they ask why I'm not looking at Gulf Keystone at the moment, is that I've been unable to meet this company for well over a year now. There are a lot of questions I'd like to ask, but until I can ask them, I can't publish on it. So
yeah, I've noticed a lot of people mentioning Gulf Keystone again of late. You know, so it's obviously private investors are getting more interested in that.
And there's no reason why not. And what is good for Gunel, not quite the same for Gulf Keystone because it doesn't have quite the same asset base, but it's getting paid. Even the directors have managed to get themselves a little bit of a tweak, I think. There's some, but you know, I'd like to meet them to catch up with what it is. Jean Ferrier is a very smart guy, but I think they want to get all their ducks in the line before they meet people.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, just a couple of things. You notice that our old friends SDX had another confirmation of a big gas discovery in Egypt at South Dusuk. Mm-hmm. And he also had his inaugural retail investors conference call on Friday, which I listened into, and they were lapping it all up there. So that's going very well. And I want a quick word on iGas and a couple of the other onshore stocks. You'll notice that last week the government announced what they call a written ministerial statement, and that this is giving a huge shot in the arm for the UK onshore players. It says that all shale gas development is of national importance to the UK. The planning process is going to be revised. There's going to be quicker planning guidance, and they're going to make what they call the process faster and fairer. And they're also going to be considering whether wells should be drilled under permitted development rather than full planning. So, you know, it's clear that the government and all the advisors have said, you know, we don't want to continue to have what we had last winter, you know, getting down to hardly any gas and reliant on Russia and Norway and Qatar and so on. So this is very good for iGas in particular, but also people like Egdon and Union Jack. And, of course, you know, there are other players who are not all quoted, but, you know, the Quadrillas and the, you know, the other companies are involved. But, you know, I expect to see some interesting activity in the drilling process in the second half of this year. Mm. So watch out for those ones. And a stock which I've been mentioning recently, I have to mention, is that Ophir Energy fired their CEO last week, which was, you know, not a complete surprise for some people, but, you know, I'd met him a couple of times recently and actually found him in better condition because, you know, I know that they've had trouble and have announced sort of fundings for Fortuna before they actually happened, and that was, you know, that was no doubt that was poor management. But I like the recent acquisition that they made, and it'll be interesting to see who they choose to replace him. As I say, you know, he's gone at immediate notice, so you know we'll see who does that. So just a sort of final point there, mate, that you know, it's not all going well, but there's nothing wrong with Ophir in itself. They could just do with financing that that Fortuna stuff. But everything else, it's all good news. Your shares at the top of your list will continue to do so, I think. The oil price is up again this morning a little bit, and I would have thought it's pretty solid at this sort of level.
Yeah, do you think it's sustainable, this level of oil? It's almost $80 nearly.
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, you know, the market has got to judge in the short to medium term, presuming that the sanctions from Donald Trump remain in place by November. Anyone who's doing deals with the Iranians has got to think very carefully, and you'll see that Total have pulled out of their deal. With Iran, and so if that's the case, then Iranian production will fall. And the question is, I mean, a lot of people were saying last week that the OPEC non-OPEC agreement will now cease to exist, and they'll all produce as much as they want. You know, if they decide that the right thing to do is to keep it reasonably tight, there's absolutely no reason why it shouldn't stay at $75 or $80. And all they've got to do is try and make sure that they don't get to a stage where the oil price is that high that it starts to take demand off the table.
Yeah.
I would have thought at $75 with international markets, economies, good GDP numbers we keep getting from the States and so on, is going to be in reasonably good condition. So, you know, I think the market can stand $75. I wouldn't think it would want to stand $90, but at the moment, all we can see here is that the longer it stays, the more likely it is that these oil companies will start to get value. You know, we went to see a presentation from Amerisur last week. It didn't say anything it hadn't already mentioned that I talked to you about last week, but you know, the money coming in is massive.
Yeah. And
the netbacks, the cash netbacks for these companies are very good. It's going extremely well, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Very bullish for oil. Marvellous stuff. Well, Marky, thanks for that, and we'll speak next week.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at 5, Angus Energy, ANGS. At 4, Ferrum Crescent, FCR. Just had Lawrence on the podcast. At 3, Cora Gold, C-O-R-A. I did write a blog about those recently, and it's worth reading. It's fantastic. At 2, Polemos, P-L-M-O. And number 1, a company I wrote a blog on, update blog, yesterday actually. By all means, join my email subscription group. Go to any blog post on Vox Markets, on the blog section, and scroll down and you'll see a link to subscribe to my email newsletter. And I send that out before market opens on a Monday morning, or normally it's very early hours. Well, I do schedule it. I don't wait up till sort of 1 in the morning and press the send button. Subscribe to that. You'll get free to your inbox. You never miss it, hopefully. But anyway, number 1 was followed. Jangada Mines. It's a follow-up, an update. I last wrote a blog on these guys back in November. And after the resource upgrade this week, I did an update on that. So it's J-A-N, worth reading. Definitely another great blog from Justin Waite. I always laugh when people talk about themselves in the third person. Justin Waite's on another great blog there again. Okay, it's time for the top 5 most liked RNSs. They are as follows. At 5, wow, Ferrum Crescent, results of general meeting. At 4, Upland Resources, Sarawak update. At 3, Greatland Gold, Black Hills, multiple gold zones identified. At 2, 8-8 Energy, operations update. And number 1, most liked RNS came from Highlands Natural Resources, strategy update. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hear the intriguing stories behind some of the world's best love songs in the FT's Life of a Song podcast. From soul to funk, to punk to jazz, Discover how classic songs like Smells Like Teen Spirit, Yesterday, and Stairway to Heaven were born. Search online or listen at ft.com/podcasts. Plus, don't miss the new Life of a Song book, featuring a compilation of 50 songs that have appeared in FT Weekend columns. Pick up your copy from Amazon, your local bookshop, or give a gift to someone who'd enjoy this brilliant literary mixtape.